Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Will Harlow. He's a physiotherapist and over 50s health specialist who has helped millions through his YouTube channel, showing you how to build your own transformative step-by-step plan based on his four pillars of independence: strength, mobility, balance, and skeletal health. Will says that getting older doesn't have to mean slowing down. His book shows you how to create a personalized plan to build strength, protect bone health, restore balance, and improve mobility at any age. It's called Independence for Life. Welcome to the show, Will.
Hi, Hannah. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Great to have you with us. So what made you decide to focus on over 50s health particularly?
It's a funny story because that's not how I set out wanting to start my career. I wanted to go into professional football when I qualified as a physio, and that's exactly what I did. But I very quickly realized that that wasn't the right path for me. I didn't like the environment and just didn't feel like that was what I was destined to do, really. So I had a quarter-life crisis. I left the professional football club I was working in and I went to work in the national health system. And at that point, I started working with people over the age of 50, primarily helping them with knee pain and back pain and loss of mobility. And I looked back after a couple of months and thought, this is just the best fun I've had in years. I'm seeing a huge change to the people I'm helping. I really feel like I'm making a difference in people's lives. And that's basically what launched me into it. And I started to create content online. And now we've got over 1 million people who watch us on YouTube. And here we are today.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you must get a lot out of helping people. If people are coming to you and they're not as mobile as they used to be, they're not exercising as much as they used to, if you can help them change and therefore feel healthier and maybe lose weight and feel better about themselves, then that's great.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And I think one of the problems is that people who are over 50 are often told that, oh, what do you expect? You know, it's your age. There's not much you can do about it. Everyone around you is going through the same thing. So just learn to live with it. But the truth is that that's a lie. There's so much we can do about our health at any age. You can still build strength and muscle and bone health right up until your 80s and 90s. So the mission really has grown to spread that message to people who need that help and to just give them easy, actionable steps they can take at home to make those changes.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people who are used to exercising regularly and it's part of their routine and they do it as often as brushing their teeth or whatever, it's just something they automatically do every day or a few times a week. As they get older, if they've always been that type of person, then it's obviously a lot easier to keep doing that because it's just something they've always done. If people haven't been exercising either ever or for years or even decades, to start exercising in your 60s or whatever can feel really daunting. You can be put off by the fact that you have aged since the last time you did it, and also possibly experiencing back pain and things like that, and also confidence, thinking, oh no, I'm too old to do it now, and sort of kind of brush it off. You must meet a lot of people like that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big myths is that people think that if they want to make a change to their health, that maybe they have to commit to an hour every day in the gym or do one of these crazy mobility programs where you're asked to bend your leg behind your head and stuff like that. And that is just not true. Like, we can make huge changes to our health in as little as 20 minutes a few times a week. So I would say at least 80% of the people I meet are in that category that you spoke about. You know, they're not lifelong exercisers. Maybe they like walking and doing the garden, and you know, maybe they do bowls or they play golf with friends, but they're not, you know, big gym goers, but they just want some simple steps to keep themselves strong and mobile. And the truth is, you can absolutely do that with a very small time commitment each week. And many of those strategies I lay out in my book and my YouTube channel.
Yeah, because the things that you mention are things that a lot of people be having issue with. So strength, I think just as we get older, unless we're lifting weights every day, I think a lot of people feel like they're not as strong as they used to be, either with their arms or legs or both. Mobility obviously is a big thing. People just generally being less mobile, and therefore the idea of exercising, having not, is a big deal. I mean, where do you get people to start? If people really aren't doing anything apart from walking to and from the car and things like that, how do they start?
Yeah, definitely. And this is probably the most common question I get asked, because I think this is everyone. You know, above the age of 50, we lose muscle mass and strength between about 3% and 8% of our total every decade. So it's a lot. And that can really creep up on people fast. And the difference between 8% of your muscle today and in 10 years time might be the difference between being able to get up and out of a chair and needing to use your arms to push you up. So this is a big deal. Now, to combine the answer of both of those questions, how do we do this easily with not much time and how do we do it effectively? I usually direct people to start off a very simple strength training program. So I actually have something that I share with people I call the 3-2-1 approach. And the reason I love this so much is because it builds strength in the places that need it the most without requiring very much time each week. And the 3-2-1 goes like this. So the three part of it is you're just going to pick three exercises that strengthen your whole body. So you might choose a squatting movement. You might choose lifting something from the floor or pushing something up over your head. So you're going to pick three exercises like that. You're going to do three sets of each of them with about a minute to 2 minutes break in between. And you're going to do that program just twice a week. And the one part of the 3-2-1 is each time you do it, you're just going to make it a little bit tougher for yourself in one way. So you're either going to add a tiny bit of weight to what you're doing or one extra repetition, but no more than one thing at a time. So it's literally that 20-minute workout twice a week, and that is enough to get people improving in strength, in muscle mass, and in mobility and balance as well, which are all those important pillars that we talk about as we age.
Mm. Do people need to be careful if they, have got a bit older, whatever age that might be, and are concerned about exercising again, and if they've suffered with back issues or knee or shoulder, all the different things that can happen to us all? Again, people might be nervous of injuring themselves, you know, doing too much too quickly, not warming up, all that kind of stuff, to go from nothing to start doing these things. Is there something that needs to happen first?
You have to start where you are. So if you're someone who does have a lot of pain, it always makes sense to get that looked at first and to see if you can reduce it. But what I would say is there are many mobility exercises that people can do if they have back pain or knee pain that should reduce the symptoms, even if they've been told that you've just got arthritis and this is just the way it has to be. I mean, we see this all the time in my in-person physical clinic. People come in having been told that, you know, your joint's worn away, it's just going to be painful forever. But with some very simple mobility movements, we can reduce that pain massively. And once people start to get their confidence back, that's when we can bring that strength training back in. And then it's almost like a positive spiral. As you get stronger, the pain gets less. You can move more, so you get even stronger. And people can get into this wonderful cycle of just getting better and better over time. But it takes that initial commitment to say, do you know what, I'm really going to work on this painful joint for a bit, see if I can reduce those symptoms, then commit to the strength training, and then things can go from there.
It's awful, isn't it, to think of how many people are told things like that. You have arthritis in whatever part of the body. It's a degenerative disease, if you like, and there's nothing really that we can do about it. So a lot of people are told things like that. No wonder they think, oh, I better not exercise, I'll make it worse, and just give up with that side of things.
Yeah, I think it's shocking, and I think it's actually very old-fashioned medicine for people to be told that there's nothing we can do, because things have moved on a lot since then, and our understanding of how the body works has really transformed over the last 10 to 20 years. And we now realize that the pictures of your joint or your body that you might get on an x-ray or a scan are only a very small part of the picture as to how much pain you're going to be in. And many people can have a joint on a scan which looks quite bad, but because they're really strong and they've built up mobility in those joints, the pain actually doesn't affect them very much and they can hardly feel it. I mean, the opposite is also true. So we can have people who don't have very much damage on a scan, but because they're weak and they're stiff, the pain is 10 times worse. So a lot of the pain that you feel is to do with what's going on around the joint, not just what's inside it. And I like to think of that as really good news, because we've got a lot of control of those muscles and how well that joint moves, regardless of what state the joint itself's in.
Mm. Another thing you talk about, one of the pillars, is skeletal health. And again, something we need to be aware of as we get older, I think women particularly, is our bones and the degeneration of our bones. Presumably we need to look at both diet and exercise for bone health.
Yes, definitely. And bone health is particularly important for women because post-menopause, those are the years where bone density starts to drop. And in the extreme case, that can lead to a condition called osteoporosis, which quite literally means brittle bones. And that can lead to a very high risk of a fracture. So we want to avoid that as much as possible. And we used to think that osteoporosis was just down to your genes. You know, you were either going to get it or you weren't. And if people in your family have it, then you're doomed. But again, we now know that there's a lot we can do with our lifestyle that can help us to avoid osteoporosis or at least slow it down. And as you say, diet and exercise are absolutely critical for this. So if on the exercise part, which is my specialty, I have three kind of main pillars when it comes to bone health. So the first one is strength training. So that what we spoke about earlier absolutely applies for this. The second is impact exercise. So things like brisk walking, running, jumping, hopping, all of these things, if they're safe for you, have been shown to increase bone density over time. And then the third thing is just consistently walking every day if you can. And we have this kind of famous 10,000 steps a day goal, which doesn't really have very much science behind it, but it's quite a nice round number to aim for. But please don't feel bad if you don't get 10,000 steps. If you're just consistently walking each day, again, that can maintain the health of your bones too. And when you combine all of those things, it can be a really powerful combination. And we've had people in my practice who have gone from losing bone every year to regaining 10, 15% of their total bone density just by following this kind of plan for a few years with us.
Wow, that's amazing. And with all of these things, people sometimes panic and think, oh, I haven't got time to do all of this. But presumably something is better than nothing. If you can't do 20 minutes a day, but you can manage 10, that's better than no minutes a day.
100%. And 1 minute is better than 0 minutes by about 100x. So even if you've got no time whatsoever, if you can just do a 30-second burst of one exercise, just at very sporadic periods throughout your day, that's going to make a massive difference over time. There's actually a name for this kind of protocol. We call it exercise snacks, which you might have heard of before.
No, I haven't, and this actually, is just, but I like the sound of it.
It's just whenever you get a second, so when it's dead time, so the kettle's boiling or you're on hold to the bank or you're just waiting for something to cook on the stove, just pick one little exercise that you can do standing up, do 30 seconds worth of it and try and come back to it a few times. And you'll be amazed at the difference this makes over a few months.
Yeah. Yeah. And making it part of a routine, it's sporadic. I guess that's the whole point. It's not a routine, but it's just getting used to doing that. If every time you boil the kettle, that's a great example, you do 10 squats or something, then, and you're having multiple cups of tea a day, then that will start to make a difference, of course.
That's the perfect example. And the late Michael Mosley had the famous exercise snack of standing on one leg while you're brushing your teeth, which is a really good one to work on your balance. So that's one that people can do every day without taking any extra time.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about balance, actually, because if people are starting to notice that they don't have as much balance as they used to, I suppose for a lot of people, they're going to be more inclined to not put themselves in a position where they're feeling unbalanced and feeling likely to fall over. Is balance something that you need to keep working on to make you more balanced, if you like? That's the right way.
Yes. Absolutely. I get what you're saying. Absolutely. And everyone will experience a loss of balance over time as they get older if you don't do anything about it. And we used to just think that we lose balance with age and there isn't much you can do. But now we've got a better understanding of what balance is. We realize that balance is a skill. It's kind of like a golf swing. The more you practice it, the better the skill becomes. So with balance, you can improve it in a couple of ways. One way is to just improve your strength because stronger people have better balance. But if you want to practice your balance directly, which will help you to improve your confidence, those exercise snacks are the best way because doing them little and often is actually much better than doing a really long balance class all in one go. So just doing 5 minutes here and there is far superior to doing 1 hour just once a week. And it's actually a lot easier to fit into your day as well. So any kind of exercise that slightly challenges your balance, so you feel a little bit wobbly, but not at the point where you feel like you might fall over, over time, that is going to improve that balance skill, so you're better and more stable on your feet.
Yeah. Something that I keep seeing online, I keep getting these adverts for things like chair yoga. And I know that the claims that it makes for these apps is just utterly ridiculous and obviously a lie when they show you a photograph of someone who's really overweight. And after a week of doing chair yoga, they've lost 4 stone. And it's like obviously complete nonsense. But for people that do have mobility issues, aren't you know, don't feel comfortable going on long walks or things like that, is there benefits from sitting in a chair and moving your arms and twisting your body and things like that?
Oh, 100%, especially if you're starting from quite a low baseline and you don't really do much exercise and you're starting to feel a little bit weaker, a bit stiffer and less mobile on your feet. This is exactly where we would get people to start. And we don't tell people to expect 40 pounds of weight loss in a week, because as you say, that's not realistic. But what is realistic is you should feel looser. You should feel like you can move your arms and your legs a bit more, and you should feel stronger. And that will equate to more confidence on your feet when you're up and out of that chair. Mm. So on the chair is exactly where I start many of my patients, especially if they've got pain or if they're very low on confidence. And like we said before, just something is always better than nothing when it comes to exercise.
Yeah. And again, I suppose if people have balance issues or are nervous, starting on a chair makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it's also very safe. So one of the things with balance is that to improve it, you do have to slightly challenge your balance. And many people don't feel confident doing that when they're in the house on their own, which is absolutely fair enough. So you can actually do balance exercises from a chair. So a simple one is to sit in on the edge of a chair. So you've just got the edge of your bottom supported, and then reach as far as you can in one direction by leaning your body. And then wait until just until you feel like if you went any further, you might lose your balance, and then bring yourself back to the center and then repeat going the opposite direction. And this is a brilliant balance exercise that you can do from a sitting position to build up that stability.
Mm. Another thing you talked about, which I feel we've sort of touched on a bit, but I like the phrase restore mobility. The fact that people can, if people are less mobile than they used to be, which is likely to happen to most, if not everyone, as they get older, the idea of being able to restore that mobility is amazing.
You absolutely can. And to define the term mobility, I really just define that as how well you can move your joints. So how much movement and how much control you have over that movement. And if you've got really good mobility, you've got a happy body, because you don't have joint pain, you feel confident on your feet, and you can do funny movements without fear of injuring yourself. So I think that's something that everyone should aspire to. But it takes effort and it takes time. And many of us are starting from a position where we're not at 100%. If you've got a past injury, or maybe you've had surgery in the past, maybe your mobility in that area is going to be slightly reduced. But that doesn't mean that it has to be that way forever. And chipping away at it, making tiny 1% improvements every week, over time, that does lead to a big improvement if you stick with it. And the best way to do that is to just take that stiff joint through a full range of motion a couple of times in a row, and just come back to it regularly. And the joints do respond, because the body's very malleable. The more you do things, the quicker they improve. So coming back to it multiple times is a really good way to improve.
Hmm. And so much of what we've talked about can be done from people's homes. They really don't need to be joining up to an expensive gym and be embarrassed about, you know, exercising in front of other people. You know, watching your YouTube channel is a perfect example. Hmm. Showing that, again, people don't need to spend loads of money on expensive weights and things like that. Just pick up a can of beans or a bottle of water or whatever it might be. And that can work just as well.
That's right. And we've got more than 700 YouTube videos, and all of them are filmed on my 3 meter by 3 meter clinic room with no gym equipment whatsoever, just a tiny dumbbell or a bottle of water or a bag filled up with books. You know, you can do so much just with these things that we already have lying around the house. A gym membership helps, but you absolutely do not need one if you want to make some improvements. Mm. So all of these things can be done from the comfort of your own home. You don't need to invest lots of money to see these kinds of benefits.
What are your thoughts on, are they called resistance bands, the bands that you can put around your legs or your arms, and they have different thickness and they're different, that, yeah, right? Because they seem to look really good.
I love resistance bands because they're very cheap. You can get a set for about £20 or €20, and you can use them for hundreds of different exercises, and they'll provide enough stimulus to both build your strength and your muscle mass back up as well. So especially good for people who want to get a bit more definition in the arms or in the upper body, because there's a lot of upper body exercises you can do with those that are difficult to do with just dumbbells or body weight. So I think they're a fantastic addition. And one of the best things about them is you can take them away with you because they don't really weigh anything.
Yeah.
So if you're on the move or if you're going on holiday, you can just put them in your suitcase and they work just as well.
Brilliant. Well, some great advice there. Thank you so much, Will. I hope and assume that people are listening are inspired and are going to start making some changes. I love the idea for anything, but we're talking about what we're talking about today, that it's never too late. It's never too late for people to start exercising and for people to start making some changes that will benefit their health and their body.
That's it. It's never too late. And we've seen people in their 90s improve in our clinic and in my online program. And people write to me every week who've followed the advice in my book and say, I thought it was too late, but you've proven me wrong. So I hope we see many more of those stories to come.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, the book is called Independence for Life. It's available on our website, tre.radio. And it's by Will Harlow, who we've been chatting with today. Will, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.